This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
I'm finishing up my series, I believe, on Jesus Revolution Part 8. Amen. And it's been 2 months, but it's good because I don't know about you, but I want to know a little bit more about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to know who Jesus is. I want to get a revelation, a greater revelation of who Jesus is. And we know if you get a greater revelation of Jesus, guess what? You're going to walk in more faith. And because, you know, and when you walk in more faith, you're going to walk in more of the promises of God in your life. How many people want to walk in more of the promises of God in your lives? Amen? And I want all the promises and then some. And so knowing Jesus, and we know that the Apostle Paul, we've been going with this scripture all series, that you know, he said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So what Paul was saying here, he's saying if there's lots of things you can study out here. You can study a lot of stuff in this world. You know, you can become an expert in different things in this world. But I want to say this, become an expert in Jesus. He basically said, there's things that he could focus on. But really, the paramount thing is to focus on Jesus. And we know that the Message translation says, "I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus, who he is, then Jesus, what he did, and Jesus crucified." So in the series, we found out that Jesus is our best friend. He's our high priest. Jesus encountered every storm that we encounter today. He is a high priest that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We also found out that Jesus is a miracle worker. Amen. And I believe that Jesus is still doing miracles today. He's not the God of I was. He's the God of I am. Amen. So he's a today God. God can meet your needs today. Nothing's impossible with God. And nothing's impossible for those that believe. Somebody say, "I'm a believing believer." Glory to God. And then we found out that Jesus is our shepherd. And I'm telling you, he is our shepherd, and he's the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. And he's our shepherd. That means that he's going to help us on the way. Glory to God. Jesus is our resurrection and life. Glory to God. And he said, "If you believe on me, you shall never die." See, the world, the people that don't know Jesus, they're afraid of death. They're afraid of dying, but we're not afraid to die, praise God, because we know we're going to transition to heaven. So we as Christians should not have a fear of death. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Why? Because we know where we're going. I know where I'm going. Somebody say, "I'm heaven bound." Amen. I'm heaven bound, glory to God. And then we found out that Jesus is not only our resurrection and life, and that we can live a resurrected life every day, but Jesus is our healer, glory to God. And Jesus wants us walking in, I like the highest bar, divine health. Now we may be encountering some issues at times. We may be encountering some things in our lives, maybe some sickness at times. But Jesus' best is for us to walk in healing. Amen. Do you believe that today? Then we found out that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? Amen. He's the Lamb of God. And then we found out that Jesus is our soon coming King. I talked about that last week. If you didn't see that message, or if you weren't here last week, get that message, because that will get you going. Glory to God. That will get you ready for the rapture, because I'm saying this to you this morning. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back sooner than we think. And so we got to get ready for his return. Amen. In Revelation, if you read the book of Revelation, it's all about the rapture and Jesus coming back. And he says here in Revelation 22 at the end, the last chapter, he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Glory to God. That's Jesus. Amen. Some say Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a great prophet. But no, Jesus was more than that. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's God in the flesh. Somebody say, "I believe that."
I believe that.
So today I want to talk to you today about Jesus being let me get my title here. Jesus is our is our Prince of Peace. I got it out. Somebody say, "Jesus is my Prince of Peace." I can barely say it this morning. Amen. And so he's our Prince of Peace. You know, the Bible says the devil is the prince of the power of the airwaves. So what is the devil trying to do? He's the prince of the power of the airwaves, which means the devil's controlling the TV shows. He's controlling the movies. He's controlling most of the radio stations. Is that right? And so he controls that. And what is he trying to do? What the devil wants to put fear in us. The news will put fear in us. But Jesus is our Prince of Peace. The world is full of sadness, worry, fear, and many problems. But we don't have to allow the world's problems to get in us. We don't have to allow the world's fear to get in us. The world's fear causes us to be despondent and to be depressed. And I'm going to say this, there should not be any depressed Christians. Can I get a witness in the house today? So you don't have to walk in what the world walks in, fear, doubt, and unbelief. I call it FUD, amen? And the force of peace, the Prince of Peace, gives us a greater grace to live in this uncertain world. We live in a world that's uncertain. What do I mean by that? Things are always changing. In this world that we live in, things don't stay the same. Amen. Things are always shifting and changing in this world. But God's word always stays the same. God is the same, and so you can't count on this shifting world that we live in that's always changing, but you can count on God because he never changes. And he will always help us to overcome as long as we're standing on the rock of revealed revelation of God's word. We will always stand strong in a shifting tide. You believe that today? I love that. And I'm going to say this, that if you're going to walk in the peace of God, you got to believe that God is in you. Amen. And I love this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes we get out of peace because sometimes we believe that we can't really walk down this earth and do some things that we need to do. But I'm going to say this. You can do anything that God puts on your heart. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Do you believe that today? The devil will try to say, "You're not going to make it." I'm going to say this morning, you're going to make it. It may feel like, you know, it's shifting, things are happening, negative things are coming down the pike. But I'm going to say this to you this morning, you're going to make it. I like what the Amplified in Philippians 4:13 says. I can do all things which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace.
Amen.
I love that. That's the Amplified. Amen. So we're focused on Jesus being our Prince of Peace this morning. And you have to don't only receive Jesus as your healer, receive Jesus as your Prince of Peace. I love that. And there's a scripture that we normally read during Christmas time, and it really, you know, it reveals Jesus. It gives a portrait of Jesus. I'm going to read this starting my message off. It's Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I love that. And so, and it says, and it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this at the end. So I love this because his government of peace, say government of peace. See, it's a government of peace that we walk under. Government is rule and reign. We walk under Jesus's government of peace. And so you don't have to be fearful today. You don't have to be worried today. You don't have to be despondent today. Why? Because Jesus is our wonderful counselor. Amen. If you have a problem, then you can ask for wisdom and you don't have to be frustrated about it. You don't have to be upset about it. You can ask God to give you wisdom, and he's your wonderful counselor. Jesus is the mighty God. Amen? He's almighty, glory to God. Jesus is everlasting Father. And what does that mean? Because you got God the Father. He's not saying that. You could say that Jesus is the Father of the firstborn. He's the first to be born again. He's the Father of a new race. And we are a new race of people. How many people are new creations in Christ? Amen. The Bible says new creatures in Christ. We're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. You're not the old self anymore. If you receive Jesus, you are a new creation in Christ. And Jesus, in a sense, has fathered a new race. Do you believe that? And so so Jesus is a father in a sense. Amen. Everlasting Father, which means his rule and his reign will never end. Jesus's rule and reign will never come to an end. A lot of people of this world that don't have Jesus in their life, they just believe just living this life is that's it, and it's going to come to an end. But it's not going to come to an end. It's not YOLO. You only live once. Amen. It's you only live twice. You're going to live down here, and then there's a life thereafter. And I'm going to say this morning, you better be living for eternity. Amen. You better not be just living for this life and for what this life can give you. You know, today I'll eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow I'll die. No, we don't want to live a life like that, that, you know, no holds bar. You know, we're just going to do whatever we want. No, we're going to live for God. We're going to live for Jesus because Jesus is coming back and his reward is in his hand to give to all those who have done some good things down here, and he will reward the wicked for what they have done. That's truth. I'm just speaking truth this morning. Jesus will reward the wicked and he will reward the righteous. And I'm going to be on the right hand side. I'm going to be on the side of the sheep, where he says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen? So sometimes fear and worry will try to dominate us. Have you ever dealt with fear and worry at times? And I'm going to say this. When you're walking in the peace of God, it should promote boldness in your life. It should promote that boldness. When you understand who you are and whose you are, then you should have boldness that God is taking care of you. Amen. You know, I think about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I think about them, and they weren't born again people, but they had a faith in God that was unshakable. And I'm going to say this, that you're going to have to, if you spend time in God's word, you spend time in prayer, you spend time fellowshipping, you're going to have a faith that will be unshakable. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had unshakable faith. in the midst of the adversity that was coming against them. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden statue, and he said that everybody had to bow to that golden statue, and those that did not bow would burn. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego would not bow. I'm going to say this to you this morning. I'm not bowing to the world system. I'm bowing to a kingdom system. I'm not going to bow to the world. I'm going to bow to Jesus. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had such faith. I believe that faith gave them peace that caused them to stand in the midst of the turmoil that was coming against them. And even though they were there, you know, and King Nebuchadnezzar gave them one more shot to bow down, and they said, we ain't doing it. We're not going to bow down before that statue, that golden idol. And then King Nebuchadnezzar got so upset, he caused that fire to be seven times hotter. And then he had his mighty man that threw them into the fire. The mighty man got killed. They got burned up. And then King Nebuchadnezzar's looking in the fire, and he said, did we not throw three boys into the fire? But there's a fourth man. I'm going to say to you this morning, there's a fourth man standing with you. I'm saying this morning, you might be in a fire that might be causing you turmoil this morning, but there's a fourth man. There's Jesus. He's with you. He's for you. He's going to help fight with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And that fourth man, King Nebuchadnezzar said, he looks like the Son of God. He is the Son of God. So Jesus, I'm going to say this to you this morning. Jesus is in the fire with us, no matter what fire we may be in. And I'm going to say this to you. Whatever fire you're in, you will not be burnt. And you will not even have the smell of smoke on your clothing. Amen. I love that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it feels like a Pentecostal church in here this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, I have called you from the furthest regions. God has called you and said to you, you are my servant. And you're his child. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you ever get into the fire, start reading Isaiah 41, 9 and 10, because he's saying to you, fear not, I am with you. Don't be worried. Don't be despair. Be confident that God is with you. Amen. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to give you some points this morning that will help you. Because I don't know about you, but every once in a while I get nervous. Does anybody get nervous out here every once in a while? You get kind of a little shaky every once in a while. Sometimes I get a little nervous, but I got to keep standing on the Word of God. And I'm going to say this, that if you're going to keep the peace of God and make Jesus the Prince of Peace in your life, you're going to always have to focus on where you're going and not where you're at. I'm going to say it again. You can't be focused on where you're at, because what the devil will say is you're in a place in your life where it's never going to change. It's going to either stay the same or get worse. Have you ever heard that line before? It's going to stay the same or get worse. But I'm going to say this, the best is yet to come. And I'm going to say this, that your natural circumstance is subject to change. Or do you believe that today? Your natural circumstances are subject to change. Because the unchanging Word of God will change the things in our lives. It will not be the same. Jesus encountered so many people that had problems, and he was their fixer. He fixed people's problems. He changed people's lives. They had long-term ailments, and Jesus came in, invaded their lives, and their problem was subject to change. So if you're going to walk in the peace of God, you can't be looking back, and you can't be focused on the now. You have to be focused on the future. I love what it says in Philippians 1 and 6, be confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to say this. What Paul was saying here is, you're going to make it. You're going to make it, even though it may look like you got some rough patches you're going through, maybe some issues. You are going to make it. The work that God has begun in you, he will complete it to the day of Christ. Do you believe that today? I believe Larry believes it today. Amen? I believe it. He's going to complete it to the day of Christ. Amen. So we got to be focusing on the future and not just the here and now, because sometimes the enemy will try to get us focused on the problems that we're walking in today. But I'm going to say this, you keep standing on the word and the promises of God will open up to your lives. I love that. See, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was saying to his disciples, guys, I'm leaving. I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to the cross. And they got nervous because Jesus was everything to the disciples. And they got nervous. They got, oh my, you're going to leave us. Oh my. But then Jesus said, don't worry about it, because I'm going to give you something better than me being here in the physical. I'm going to say something to you today. There's something better than Jesus being with us in the physical. It's called the Holy Spirit. He said, I will give you a comforter. Amen. I will give you an advocate. I will give you a standby. I will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to cause you to stand in the midst of the trials and storms in life. I will give you the Holy Spirit. That's one better, because Jesus is one person. He can only be with so many people at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be with everybody. Do you believe that today? I love that. And I love what Jesus said to his disciples that were a little nervous about him going. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that if you're going to walk in and receive Jesus as your Prince of Peace, you can't be just focused on today. You got to be focused on the future. And Jesus was saying, listen, guys, focus on the fact that I am building a mansion in heaven for you, and that I am preparing a dwelling place. Focus on the fact of not where you're at, but where you are going. You got to focus on that in this journey of life. You know, you got to be focusing on where you're moving towards. How many people are moving towards a closer walk with Jesus? Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Yes, Lord. Amen. I wish I could sing it. Amen. Just a closer walk. And we need a closer walk with Jesus. In other words, you don't stay idle in your faith in Jesus. You're either moving forward in God or going backwards. There's no idleness. There's no standing still in God. You're either moving forward or going back. How many people are moving forward in the house today? We're moving forward. Amen. I love that. And so I love that. So you got to keep looking ahead. When Abraham was praying to the Lord one day, and he was saying, I have no heirs, and he was despondent, he was depressed, he was worried. Abraham was worried at one time. See, Abraham grew in his faith. He's called the father of our faith, but he had to grow in faith, just like we have to grow in faith. So Abraham didn't start off this mighty man of faith. He grew in faith. How did he grow in faith? Well, God said to him, spoke to him and said, come out of your tent, look at the stars. And then God spoke to him and said, listen, your descendants are going to be numbered as the stars in the sky and as the grains of sand on the seashore. And so what did God do with Abraham? He got him to focus off his present situation. I'm talking to somebody today. And he started getting him to focus on the stars. And every time Abraham looked at the stars, he saw children. Every star represented a child. And Abraham is called the father of our faith. Do you believe that today? So what am I saying to you today? When the enemy starts putting pressure on you, get outside at night and look at the stars. Because God has some good things in store for you. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, you just might need to gaze at the stars and relax and enjoy looking at the stars. Amen. And then I love this because Joseph went through a lot of stuff in his life. But Joseph had a dream. At 17, God told him that he would be ruling and reigning. He would be ruling and reigning. And he had this dream, but it looked like it wasn't going to come to pass. Joseph was in Potiphar's house as a servant, but everywhere Joseph went, he ended up ruling. He ended up ruling in Potiphar's house. He was doing everything for Potiphar, and then he ended up getting thrown into jail, and he ended up ruling the jail. So wherever you're at, you keep a right attitude, you're going to rule and reign. Amen? And then, of course, you know, he was ruling and reigning in the jail, glory to God. Amen. And then eventually he got into the palace. And when he got into the palace, he became the prime minister, and he actually ruled and reigned in Egypt. He was really, the Bible says this, and it was amazing what I read. He said that Joseph became a father to the Pharaoh. Ooh, Joseph became a father to the Pharaoh. That's powerful. That's powerful. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying get ready to rule and reign in your domain. Get ready to rule and reign over fear, doubt, and unbelief. Get ready to rule and reign from that despair that's trying to come into your life. I love what it says here in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be let it be afraid. This is Jesus speaking. It's in chapter 14. He's still talking to his disciples. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I love that. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And he says, not as the world gives you. See, the world promises peace through a lot of different avenues. Doesn't the world promise peace through a lot of different avenues? Doesn't the world say, if you have enough money, you'll be fine and you will have peace? Money will not give you peace. It may give you some luxuries in life, but what if you get a disease? Money may not fix that disease. Amen. You don't, you know, money won't fix everything. But God can fix everything. Amen. So money can't fix everything. You hear celebrities that are multimillionaires get a disease and die early in life, but their money didn't fix them. Okay. Amen. So don't try to seek peace through money. Don't try to seek peace through entertainment. Some people like to say, oh man, I'm stressed out. I used to do this. I used to get stressed out many years ago. So I'm going to go escape to the movies. Anybody ever do that? You know, I'm going to just go to a movie, get lost in a movie, not think about my life, think about how all my problems I have. I'm going to escape to the movies. And so you spend 2 hours watching that movie, you get engrossed in that movie, and you forget just a little bit about your problems. But once you get out of that movie, guess what? The problems hit you back in the face. Amen. And so entertainment has its place, but it won't replace the peace that Jesus can give us. Some people try to seek peace through drugs. Some people take drugs to get their peace, but I'm telling you, we're not taking drugs to get peace. There's no high like the Most High. And I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to seek His presence, and I'm not going to get drugs in my life to try to get peace. Because that high is just a temporary high, and you always come down from that high. Yeah. Is that right? In drugs, you always come down. Some people try to get peace through alcohol. Some people say, man, if I can get Jack Daniels, you don't need Jack Daniels, you need Jesus Christ. They say, oh, Jack Daniels, you know, the tubs and all this, how they make Jack Daniels, oh, nah, you know. Yeah, but you know what? The Bible says that it may be red in the cup and it may go down smoothly, but at the end it will sting like a viper. Like a viper, glory to God. Am I preaching to somebody today? So don't be seeking Jack Daniels. Be seeking Jesus Christ. Because that is just a temporary fix. Amen. Jesus is a long-term fix for any long-term ailments. Amen. Then, of course, and people are trying to get peace through sex. Ooh, I said it this morning. Pastor, you actually said the word sex. Yes, people are trying to get peace through sex. And you know what? That's just a fleeting moment, glory to God. That sometimes that might give you some anxiety. That might get what goes to Vegas stays in Vegas. It may come with you, back with you from Vegas. Especially if you go to the chicken ranch or whatever they have over there. But what I'm talking about, are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You got to be careful. What stays in Vegas may come with you. Then you're going to the doctor because you caught something deadly. That won't give you peace. Only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will give us peace. And peace is the absence of fear. And you can say fear and worry destroys our peace. Another scripture that promotes peace is, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but a power, love, and a sound mind. When the devil is trying to come against us and put fear in us and try to rob us of our peace, we need to confess some scriptures. We need to confess that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. A well-balanced mind. You need to be confessing some scriptures, because what you confess, you possess. What you confess, you possess. I'm confessing that I'm a man of peace. I'm confessing I'm a man of abundance. I'm confessing that I'm a man of ability. I'm confessing the greatness of God in my life. Amen. I'm confessing I'm a multimillionaire for the kingdom of God. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a multimillionaire. Don't be afraid to say that. Don't get nervous about money. If God gave you $1 million, I know each one of you are going to tithe at least 10% back to the church. Because I'm looking at tithers in the house today. And you might even give God a little bit more than that $100,000. Amen. You might even help buy the church some land and a building. How many multimillionaires in the making in the church this morning? Oh, man, I got some hands being raised. Gloria. Some people say, I don't know if I should raise my hand about that. Amen. No, it's God that gives you power to get wealth so that His covenant will be established. He gives you the power. The power to make wealth. Do you believe that today? Why? So we can establish His covenant. See, the Bible says that God blessed Abraham so Abraham could be a blessing. God wants to bless you so that not for you to hoard it on yourself, but for you to be a blessing to others. Amen. Glory to God. Number two, if we're going to walk in the peace of God, we got to stir up the gifts. In other words, we got to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. So how do we stir up the gift of God, you may ask? How do we keep the gift of God or the Holy Spirit rolling in our lives? In Ephesians 5:18 and 20, he says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's contrasting. He's saying, don't seek peace by getting drunk. Seek peace by worshiping the Lord. Because worshiping the Lord won't give you any hangover the next day. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Worshiping the Lord, it will bring you into a place of super peace. Because when you're worshiping the Lord, you're magnifying God. When you're magnifying God, you're making Him bigger than the problems that you're facing today. See, that's the reason why we worship God. Why do you worship God? Because I want to make God bigger. See, if I'm in fear today or I'm not in peace today, then that, what I'm doing is I'm exalting the problem. The problem's becoming bigger than the promise. Amen. But I want to exalt the promise over the problem. Amen. And so when I worship God, I'm saying, God, you're bigger than this circumstance. You're bigger than this situation. You're bigger. Listen, I can't control people. I can't control what people do to me. I can't control the economy. I can't control that. I can't control what happens to me, but I may be able to control what happens in me. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I can't control people. I can't make people come to church. I can't do that. Only God can move on the hearts of the kings. See, the Bible says that God has the hearts of the kings in His hands, and He can turn the king's hearts wherever He wishes. So how do you turn the king's hearts? You pray for the kings. Wives, pray for your husbands. Pray that God will invade their lives. Amen. All right, we got husbands here, but some husbands aren't here, but they're coming. Amen. Glory to God. They're coming. Glory to God. Pray that God will move on their hearts to come to church to get more of God, because the storm is coming. And I'm telling you, when the storm comes, your foot better be on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Because if it's on sinking sand, that's what's going to happen. We're going to sink in our problems. Amen? So I love that. So focus on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says this way, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So God keeps us in perfect peace when we focus on Jesus. So what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about if you're going to walk in the peace of God, you're going to have to focus on the future and not today or the past. If you're going to walk in the peace of God, you're going to have to learn to stir up the gift of God in your life by worship and praise. If you're going to walk in the Prince of Peace, you're going to have to trust God, number three, no matter what. You're going to have to trust God no matter what. We can't put our trust in temporary things. We can only put our trust in God, glory to God. And, you know, medication might help, but God's word will heal. Amen. Money can help, but a miracle is better. Amen. People can do some things for you, but don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. Amen. Amen. Because man can fail you, but God will never fail you. Let me give you some scriptures that will help you walk in the peace of God. Psalms 27 says this, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord God. I'm going to say this morning, trusting God and peace are connected. When you trust God, you're going to have the peace of God in your life. When the devil is working on us not trusting God, not believing God, not taking God at His word. Amen? So trust the Lord. So some trust in chariots. We're not going to put our trust in chariots or horses, but we're going to put our trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, you know this one. Trust the Lord with some of your heart and lean. Thank you. Trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. One of the prayers that I try to pray every day is, God, order my steps today. Order my steps. Help me to walk in the places that you want me to walk in. Order my steps. Pray that prayer and your days will go amazingly. Amen. Psalms 118, 89. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So if you trust God, you're going to walk in the peace of God. Number four, you have to learn to cast your cares on the Lord. Cast your cares. You know, Brother Hagin talked about there's many prayers that you can pray. You can pray the prayer of agreement. You can pray the prayer of faith. You can pray different prayers. But you need the prayer of consecration. We need to be praying these kind of prayers. But because there's different types of prayers. But you need to pray the prayer of commitment. What is the prayer of commitment? You're going to commit that you're not going to worry anymore. You're gonna pray, God, if hair lips the devil, I'm not going to worry anymore about anything. I like what it says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 9. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Due time is coming. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So he's saying here that we're all going to deal with some kind of suffering in our life. But he's saying that we need to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and cast our cares on the Lord. And then he says, not only do we have to cast our cares, cast our problems, we need to resist. Resist what? We need to resist fear. We need to resist worry. We need to resist these things that will try to come in life. You need to resist it. How do you resist it? By saying no to it. Fear, leave in Jesus' name. Worry, go in Jesus' name. Speak to it. Like Jesus spoke to the mountain, you speak to worry and you command to leave in your life. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your cares, your anxieties, your worries, this is the Amplified, all your concerns once and for all, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. I'm going to get out of my seat because I need to, amen? You know, Jesus said to his disciples, boys, let's go to the other side. We're going to the other side. And Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, gave the command, and he went in the bow of the boat. And as they started moving towards the island, a storm came up on the boat and started rocking the boat. And you know what? The disciples got fearful. And they said, Jesus, do you careth that we perish? And I'm going to say this, Jesus cares. One of the first things that the devil will try to do to cause fear or worry, he will try to tell you that God doesn't care. God cares about your circumstance and your situation. And when they woke up Jesus in the boat, see, you need to wake up the Word of God in your life. And when you wake up the Word of God in your life and you start standing on the Word of God, it will move fear, doubt, and unbelief out of your equation. And when they woke up Jesus, Jesus said to the storm, peace, be still. And that storm calmed down. I want to say this, if you don't have peace in you, then you're not going to be able to speak to the storm outside of you. And Jesus had that peace in him, and he could command that peace that was in him to cause that peace to go outside of him. And I'm telling you, when you're walking in confidence towards God, you're going to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, and your peace will cause other people to have peace in their equations. Do you believe that today? So you need to learn to cast your cares on the Lord. Number five, you need to obey the Lord. Obey your conscience. Never go against your conscience. When you go against your conscience, what I mean by that, that you know what to do is right. Do the right things. Don't ever do the wrong things. Because when we start doing the wrong things, lying, cheating, stealing. Did I have to define it for you? The wrong things. Lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, all that kind of stuff. That's sin. And we want to obey God. We don't want to be gossiping, lying, cheating, stealing, because that's not going to promote peace in our life. that's going to promote turmoil in our life. And so you have to obey your conscience. I like what it says in Hebrews 10. It says, let us draw near, 10:22 and 23. Let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he has promised who is faithful. Amen. So if we need to be very careful that we're obeying God. I'm going to say this. If you want peace in your life, obey God. Amen. If you want turmoil in life, disobey God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? If you want peace, obey God. If you want turmoil, disobey God. See, I want to be in God's will. I don't want to be outside of God's will. You know, my pastor, Joe Warren, that started this church, and I'm closing. And he got saved when he was a kid, and then he kind of moved away from the Lord. He thought the Lord wanted him to be a missionary, and he thought that that he was going to have to go to Africa, and he wasn't Tarzan, and he didn't have Jane. And that's what his story was. And so he was afraid to serve God because he was afraid what God would tell him to do. See, there's lots of people who are afraid to serve God because they're afraid that God's going to tell them to do something that they don't want to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They live a surface life. They don't really live serving God. But I'm going to say this. If you really go full out for God, whatever God calls you to do, you're going to want to do it. Because when you get close to God, you're created to do something special in this life. And when you get close to God, God will reveal to you what that special thing is. And when you're walking in it, you're going to have full throttle peace. And so I love this. And my pastor was backslidden. He's been out of church, not serving God, serving himself, you know, into his idols, football and all that. And I know I hit on some toes there. And he was into football and all that. And one person came to him and said, he was excited about his football team, the Arkansas Razorbacks, I believe. And one guy said, man, if you get excited about God the way you're excited about this football game, God would do great things in your life. And then God spoke to him and said, listen, are you going to serve me or else? And you know what? He didn't know what the or else was. And I'm going to say this, you know, I don't want the or else. How many people want the or else? No, I want to serve God. The Bible says it's the willing and obedient that eat the best. If God's called you here in this church, be the best that you can be in this church. I believe that God calls people to churches, glory to God. I believe he calls us to be a blessing in the local church, amen? And if God's called you here, be the best that you can be. You know, one of the things you can do as a church member is show up. Just show up, amen? That's 90% of it. Just show up. And then the rest, just be your best. Amen. And if God's called you here, then that's where your blessing's going to be. Don't allow the enemy to get you moving outside of God's will. Because in God's will is perfect peace and perfect blessing. Do you believe that today? And I don't know about you, but I want to stay in God's will. Amen. I don't want the or else. The Bible says it's the willing and obedient that eat the best of the land. But there's a second part to that. See, there's a positive part. And a negative part. What's the negative part? Judgment. You know, the positive part, you know, choose this day who you serve, blessing or curse, life or death, you choose. So you get either life or death, blessing or curse. How many people want to stand on the blessing side? How many people want the life side? But that second part of it, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the best land. But if you refuse and rebel, what will happen? You'll be devoured by the sword. I don't want to refuse and rebel, God. I want to get on the side of God of obedience. So if you stay in obedience to God and you're walking right with God, that should promote peace in your life and you don't have nothing to worry about. You don't have to always be looking over your shoulder. Is anybody looking? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Because I know people that are in sin because when they come in with a crick in their neck. Why? Because they've been looking behind them. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, you're looking around and see if anybody's watching you. But I'm going to say this. It's not about people watching you. It's about God watching you. It's the all-seeing eye of God. God watches everything that we do. We don't get away with anything. Amen. And I'm telling you, that I love that because God will watch you when you're in that secret place of the Most High. And when you're in that secret place praying and nobody knows that you're praying, fasting and nobody knows that you're fasting, giving and nobody knows that you're giving, God will see that and He reward your faithfulness. He will reward it with peace. He will reward it with joy. He will reward it with all the grace gifts that He has for us. Did you receive it today? Yes. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness today. I thank You, Father God, that You're helping us to walk in the peace of God. And I thank You, Father God, that as we do these keys, Father, as we stir up the gift and keep focus on You, Lord, and as we trust in You, Father God, as we obey You, Lord God, You will cause that peace to be in our lives. Father, I thank You for every person this morning. I thank You for those that are watching online. And I'm going to say to you this morning that God is asking you that if He can come into your life, and maybe you don't have peace today, I'm saying to you this morning, the Prince of Peace can invade your life. All you have to do is pray a prayer and mean in your heart. Say this if you're ready for the Prince of Peace to invade your life. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.